Pa! Pa! Enough! I just can't anymore. It just... It's too much. Isn't it? I just can't anymore. I can't with the everything. Not anymore. I mean, why? Why, right? I mean, you with the thing, and then you, you have your thing, and you, yes, you, right? Us, all of us all, right? You. And even you. And if I have to do whatever it is that I have to do it, then so be it. So be it. I hadn't planned to lay it all out like that, but sometimes the right words come perfect.
TBTN!
Put my heart and soul into this, but now it's either roll over for that sheriff like a dog or fight like a different, better dog.
Do you have any skill at all other than magically failing your way to the top?
You guys remember the A-Team, right? A-Team?
I'm the A-Team,
Mr. T. They were supposed to be on the run, but, you know, they were in a really distinctive van. Yeah, what was up with that?
And this is your master plan.
Huh? Oh, no. Now this is a whole other awesome thing. This is just a goof. Later, Tater.
All right, it's that time again, everybody. Time for a Thursday afternoon edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
Too loud and too specific.
A little pause there at the top of the show was me trying to think of a witty retort to that piece of tape saying, later, Tater. I was trying to think of how you would say, like, scram, ya yam. Actually, I was trying to think of how you would say hello to a rutabaga. It's not joking. That was what I was... Because he's saying, later, Tater. I was trying to say hello to a legume or tuber, but I couldn't... I couldn't quite construct it in my mind, and then I thought, just move on, just get into the show, Burbank, and then, of course, I decided to bring you in on my process. And I really regret that right here at the top of the show, roughly 3 minutes into the broadcast. This right here is episode 2727. Ooh, look at that. 2727 in a... collector series coming to you, of course, from the Burbank Springs Broadcast Center. Perchtop, Alabama Hill in Bellingham, Washington, the Bay City.
Welcome to my world.
I don't see the pod dog or the Bay Kitty around anywhere, but it's been like a day since we vacuumed. And so that means that the pod dog's fur is everywhere. Like if we don't vacuum, if we go 8 hours without vacuuming in this house, there is so much hair. I guess it's fur, really. Hair is the thing that doesn't fall out, right? Like, there are dogs that have hair, which is kind of weird to think about, but that's the non-shedding kind, and we have the very shedding kind. That there, if I swept up, maybe I'll do this for the show photo today, if I swept up all of the dog hair that is in the hallway, I could reformulate the pod dog. And maybe, you know, someday in the hopefully very distant future when she passes off of this planet, maybe that's what I'll do. Maybe I'll make, like, I'll replicate her through her leftover fur, which is everywhere. For now, let's focus on getting down to brass tacks here on a Thursday edition of the show. What are we going to talk about? You are probably wondering.
Let the fun begin.
It's not going to all be fur-related content, no. We're going to talk about that guy Jeffrey Owens. He was on The Cosby Show, and then he was working at Trader Joe's in New Jersey. And somebody took a picture of him while he was working, and then a British newspaper wrote an article kind of sort of, you could say, pitying him / making fun of him for having a normal person job.
Man, that's so rude. I can't believe it. It's so damn rude.
Well, we've got some good news from the story of Jeffrey Owens. He's been cast in a couple of different things. We'll tell you the latest on him when we get to top stories. Also, I've got some strategies. I got these from CNN. I got some strategies for making your football watching a healthier experience in terms of the food that you're consuming. You could apply this to anything, too. Maybe you're not into sports. Maybe you're a theater type. You could apply this to your snacking before and after you come to your friend's one-person show, for instance. Anyway, some tips on how you can be at parties and celebrating but eating better. We'll see if Andrew is interested in doing even one of these things.
It's a waste of time to do that.
We'll run through the quiz. Oh, and also it's Thursday, and in our world that means it's also Blur's Day.
My birthday today.
So we'll do some Blur's Day messages as well. First, though, we got to say hi to the longest-running Cobrogan of the show. He can get you a toe by 3 o'clock this afternoon with nail polish, by the way. With his fecalist in jail, he can eat whatever he wants. He's not so much of a rapper as a TED Talk set to music. He's Andrew Walsh, and he joins us right now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Hello, my dude.
How do you say hello to a rutabaga?
That's such a poetic and philosophical way
to start the show. I love that.
But nothing rhymes with rutabaga. That's the problem. Because it says later tater. So I wanted to say hello. I wanted to say hello to some other.
Right.
Like I said, legume.
Sure.
I don't actually know if a rutabaga is technically a legume.
What about. Legume? You could have said, what's up, turnips?
Ah, see? There you go.
Well, I had a lot
you had an extra four minutes to sure. come up with it.
Although I will say so, I wasn't really thinking about it until this moment. I was honest. I honestly was not. I wasn't trying to come up with one with
you. Were
you
thinking about the founder of Popeye's Chicken again?
I was. I was just thinking, how do you say hello to a rutabaga? First of all,
yeah, but what's up, turnip? That's legit. If I could have thought about that.
If I could have thought that up
in the moment, I would have gone with it. And really, I think if... As a professional broadcaster, if there's one thing I've learned 2,727 episodes in, it's you have a thought, and if you can make it work, cool. And if you can't, you just move on. And you don't spend the first 4 minutes of the show talking about your rhyming issues.
Wait, you've learned
which
that?
Is, of course.
I have not learned that.
I haven't.
I need to tell you that
I have not learned that. I would like to submit the open of this show as evidence that I have not learned anything about being a professional broadcaster, except that sound effect is never not funny.
I know. It's honestly the funniest thing we do on this show.
For me and babies.
And babies. And baby Andy over here. Let's see here.
How are you, my friend?
Great.
On this Thursday show that we're taping on Wednesday, I'm just going to rip the Band-Aid off.
Oh, I could have played Tomorrow's Coffee today if I knew we were going to be honest about this shit.
As everyone's hearing this show on Thursday... it was going to be a little complicated day for me trying to fly down to Portland because I'm doing Livewire Thursday night in Portland. And because the airline, Horizon Air, that services the Bellingham area has kind of reduced a lot of its flights, it's very complicated now getting a flight down. I know this is a first world problem. But anyway, it just made more sense to record two episodes on Wednesday, play one of them on Thursday. So here we are. We're recording our second episode in rapid-fire succession, which can kind of bring some challenges because whatever is on our mind, like the founder of Popeye's Chicken, V. Ann Rice, of the Vampire Lestat fame and Interview with a Vampire fame, whatever's on our mind in show one bleeds over into show two because we're recording these back-to-back.
Well, I wasn't going to do that, but since you did raise it now a couple of times, I will say that I was that founder of Popeye's Chicken Talk came from my friend Monica. I felt bad that I couldn't remember the name of her sketch comedy troupe that we steal audio from all the time. It's called Hush Money Sketch. I don't think they're practicing anymore, but at least I get to correct the record on that. I also wanted to weigh in on your talk about sweeping up Rudy hair and then creating another Rudy out of it, because I just did that this weekend with the cats. Like, I swept the floor. I'm just like, my God, I have a whole nother cat here. If only I could somehow, like, hook up electrodes to it, fly a kite in a rainstorm and have lightning hit the kite and then go into this. Like, I would have another cat. I would have reanimated a cat out of cat hair. That is how much. I mean, it just piles up so damn fast. You can't get on top of it.
I know. And we have we bought this. Usually I sort of start talking about something and then I spend a good amount of time talking about how it was a bad thing to talk about. But my experience with Vacuum Talk on the show is people love it. And I'm not even being sarcastic. It was when we moved into this house and when we put in like dark colored floors, which was a nice contrast with the dog's hair. We were talking about like all manner of Dyson product, and people, I seriously would get emails from people going, I love Vacuum Talk. So we got that, the kind of cordless Dyson product called the Animal,
I want one.
Which was great. But the battery has been kind of dying on it. And now there is, if you are extremely strategic, you can vacuum 90% of the upstairs of the house with that thing. Mm-hmm. But you have to be so efficient, like no wasted movements. And it's like I begin to feel, it's like when I'm washing the car and I got quarters in the self, when I'm doing a self wash. It's like, oh my God, when's this thing going to die? And I'm looking around trying to get all the worst of the hair. Oh,
I hate this. How long did you have it before this became a problem?
A week. The battery's always sucked, but
really?
It sucks more now. I think you can buy a replacement battery, which we just need to do at some point. But I mean, the thing is, it's served its time, I guess. It wasn't cheap. It was like $400 or something, but they're cheaper now. Anyway, and so then it's like, well, we'll screw it. Do we want to play this? Do we want to play this game, or do we want to just break out the real vacuum, which you plug in, which is a little bit more tedious and cumbersome. But you're not the whole time waiting, because it never tells you when it's going to die, and it does not go for exactly the same amount of time. Like, it'll be on the charger for days, so it's fully charged.
Yeah.
Some days it'll give you 19 minutes. Some days it'll give you 13 minutes. So you really are just kind of like the whole time waiting for it just to go, I'm done.
Right.
It's very stressful.
This is very, okay, so this is very much in my wheelhouse, because I was just thinking about this the other day while I was vacuuming. And by the way, while we're talking about this, I want to know, I'm going to do a straight up plug here. You know, I told you, a friend of the show, Hannah Brooks Olson, and I love talking about cleaning. We recorded our pilot of our new podcast called Spotless. It's edited now. Everything is done. I registered to get it on Stitcher. It's on Stitcher now, but I shouldn't say that because people will find it. But like, I want to make the big announcement when it's on iTunes. But right now I submitted it 24 hours ago. And last time I submitted a podcast to iTunes, it was after these messages, and it took about an hour. And they're like, yep, you're approved. And now it's been 24 hours. I've been doing some Googling. They say officially it could take up to a week. Other people are saying it's taken 3 weeks in the past, and I'm kind of sweating a little bit. Like, I know that this actually has to go in front of a human being, and I'm wondering, like, we use a tiny bit of music in it. Is there a chance that they're going to – what is holding up the process? I want to tell people they can listen to Spotless. Anyway, that is not happening yet. In the meantime, though, I was vacuuming
– You realize that you've painted yourself into a corner with that name, because if it blows up – and becomes popular, and then you have advertisers, you will have spots.
I think it was Genevieve and I were talking about that. That's actually kind of perfect. I thought you were going to say I was working myself into a spot, because that was really dumb of me to say that. I'm not going to edit it out, because what the hell? It's too hard. But it's not like I'm an audio editor or anything. I probably shouldn't have mentioned that, because I didn't want to mention it until it was actually officially on iTunes. But I've got the page open right now. I keep on refreshing, and I'm hoping that by the time this hits the airwaves, maybe we will have a pilot podcast for people to listen to. But back to the vacuuming thing. The truth is, we don't have a lot of carpets in our house. We have about three, this is mostly wood floors painted over. We have three big rugs that you put down in the main rooms, my office, our living room, and the Nintendo room, for lack of a better word. And one of those, our main carpet, it's a brand new carpet, and it's wool, so it still is kind of like it's got a lot of cat hair collection going on, but it also, I think, a new carpet. I don't know what the word is for, but
it's
creates
like shedding.
It's shedding.
The carpet itself is shedding.
Yes, and what it needs is, like, there's such a mental barrier to going to the closet, where I actually have like our real vacuum that you got to pull out, and it's kind of heavy. It's not that heavy, but it's just like I got to find a place to plug it in and then drag the cord across the apartment and then wrap it up when I'm done. And so what I keep on thinking is, I just want to grab my little Shark vacuum cleaner, which is about the size of a dust buster, and it does have a little an attachment for carpet on it, but it's just not quite big enough. But it's better because it's just charging all the time, and I don't need a cord. And I've been thinking a lot about the psychology around me pulling out the big vacuum cleaner, and I was thinking, I want to tell Genevieve, you know, I got birthday and Christmas coming up here. I'm wondering if maybe I could ask her to get me one of those, you know, vacuums like you have, because I think I would keep this place cleaner if I just had a vacuum that was a full-size vacuum, or a vacuum I don't have to get down on my hands and knees to use. Mm-hmm. But I don't have to worry about, like, kind of finding the big old thing and plugging it in and all that shit.
It's definitely served that purpose in our household before the battery started being annoying, or really annoying. And I'm sure that we had like version one of it. I'm sure that they're on V5 and it's probably way better on a bunch of different levels. So I would recommend it, even though I'm kind of annoyed with our particular one. The weird thing for us is that the other vacuum that we have is also a Dyson. It's like a real one. It's well designed. It has a long ass cord, like a crazily long cord. And actually, when you're in our house, because of the layout of our house, there's just lots of places to plug stuff in. Like, and you can go, you could basically do like, you only have to plug it in two or three times to cover the whole upstairs. And it has more, like, it's a better vacuum, right? Because it's like has more sucking power. It has more capacity. It's just everything about it is better. And it isn't like I'm not like getting under the bed to try to find an outlet. Like, it's actually a fairly convenient process. I don't know why I don't do it. It is a massive psychological hurdle for me.
Me too.
That is really pointless, because it is not like we used to have when I was a kid. One of my chores was to vacuum the basement every Saturday. We had like an unfinished kind of cement basement. But I mean, you know, like it wasn't like a root cellar. Like it had a – just imagine a basement with kind of a, I guess you could say, sort of polished cement floor.
Yep. Perfect description.
We had a canister vacuum cleaner. Do you remember these?
The one I grew up with was a big, heavy, clunking thing with a headlight and a bag. And we had to empty the bag. It sounds like if you had a canister, then you're talking something different.
This was not a vacuum you could roll over things and it would pick stuff up. This was like a shop vac, but from like Marty McFly should have been rewiring it in the 50s to try to get back to his normal time space. Like, it's super – actually, it was a cool piece of – like, I wish I could find a picture of it, because it was like – this would have been in the mid-80s, and it was definitely from the early 70s, if not late 60s. And what it was is a very simple piece of machinery. It's like a can, like a small cylinder, I guess. Very 1950s, like trying to be space age infused.
Oh, okay, now I can picture it. Okay,
a big long hose coming out of it, and then you use the hose. That's what you went around, and the hose had like a whatever you'd call it, an attachment on it that was kind of like a, you know, look like anyway. Point being, you could walk around with the hose and this attachment, and you could vacuum the floor with it, and it all went back into the canister. But I swear to God, this vacuum cleaner, I didn't weigh a lot as a kid. This vacuum cleaner outweighed me for most of my childhood.
Yes, yeah.
And I would like lug that thing around the basement trying to vacuum, and like I think it scarred me, because what I'm dealing with now is a high-tech piece of Dyson machinery that is very user-friendly, is not that canister vacuum of my youth, but somewhere in my mind it's like, God, I hated getting the vacuum out so much as a kid. I think it's all just like it's carried over into adulthood.
Yeah, I think you're right. Hannah is really good at talking about this kind of stuff on the show, too. She's talking about like and that's why I plugged a show that isn't even on iTunes yet, because she's really good at talking about like for people who don't like she and I love cleaning. And I think you do, too, to a degree, or at least you like having a clean, neat surroundings. But I
like things being clean. And I found that sometimes the most efficient way for that to happen is to do the cleaning.
Right.
I'd rather Carrie clean the whole house spotlessly, as she often does, and then I just benefit from it. But sometimes if she's out of town or if she's busy, then I do it. And either way, I do like being in a clean house.
If you don't mind, I'd ask you not to use the word spotlessly. That's kind of something that we've been kind of branding on our end. No, but she's really good at talking about the psychological aspects of it and removing those kinds of barriers, because the first email we got was from a listener who said, listen, maybe you guys are the worst people to ask this question because you enjoy doing it, but I hate cleaning. There's just like nothing I can do. Like I try the podcast, I try watching TV, I try all the things, but I would rather just lay on the floor and do nothing. And so Hannah was kind of talking about ways you can kind of just like get into the psychology of what you hate about it and ways that you can kind of remove those barriers. And I thought that was really interesting. She's the smart one on the show. I'm the one who knows how to turn knobs. I think I found a photo of the vacuum that I had as a kid, by the way. I am getting close to it.
I'm knee deep in the hoopla of 1960s canister vacuum image search myself, trying to find. Now, a lot of the ones from the day, sorry, I didn't mean to hijack your observation.
I'm done.
But a lot of the ones that are showing up are kind of like long. They're almost like missile shaped. That was not the shape of ours. Ours was more like an R2-D2 kind of shape, but with a less of a round top, if that makes sense. So, but man, this really, really brings me back. Believe it or not, there was like two more things I was going to say about vacuums, but maybe my brain faltering here is actually a gift to the listeners, because it's a sign that we should just move on since we're already a little overdue for our break. So let's do that. If I remember my my additional vacuum observations, I actually did remember it. And I do think it's a good question to ask you as the co-host of a soon to be a huge hit cleaning podcast called Spotless. I think this is a great question for you. And so I will pose it to you when we come back. It is a vacuum cleaning related question. First, though, let's take a break and then we'll be back with more Spotless.
Hey.
Look around, could it bring somebody down if I never made a sound again? In your eyes, you've already spent my thighs, and you're rocking to the next bit.
Oh man, I love this song so much. This whole record is really good, by the way. Super Drag.
So this is Super Drag. Now, is this the song that you and Scotty Houghton sing, or that Scotty Houghton sings at karaoke that you always talk about? You're impressed with that pick.
I think Teenage Dirtbag by Wheatus is a song that he does. That's a deep cut. I have done this song, and maybe he's done this song too. This one I love. Also, I am a fan at karaoke of the song by Lit, My Own Worst Enemy,
okay,
which is from roughly the same era. You know that one?
I'm not sure. What my problem is, I get confused.
Please tell me why I'm sleeping with the clothes on.
I do know whatever it is
they say. I don't really know the lyrics.
You have Super Drag, who is this? I get that confused with Space Hog, which I was mildly obsessed with during our road trip. And there's another super something. There's like three or four bands that all have names that I just cannot separate them apart because they all had like one song that I knew from the radio but never really had the album or like kind of got it.
Super Deluxe.
Yeah. What was theirs?
Super Grass.
Super Grass. Yes. What was Super Grass?
Super Grass. They did We Are Young, We Are Free, that Feel All Right song.
Okay. Yeah. That's
The guy from Supergrass has like tremendous mutton chops.
Okay, and this is from the same era, or is this from old timey days?
Yeah. This is from the same era.
Yeah, it's just kind of retro-y sounding. You know,
and there was a band called the Super Suckers, which I think was like a Seattle band that was kind of, or at least they played Seattle a lot, and they were kind of like a, who would the Super Suckers sound like? They were kind of a, I think like a hellbilly, like a kind of a rockabilly. I don't know. I didn't like their posters. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't really enjoy the posters of the Super Suckers. Not to be confused with Gas Huffer.
Oh, I don't know. You're getting some local stuff going on here.
Yeah, I mean, I listened to a lot of local music as a kid, but also I experienced a lot of local music just through the posters that they'd be plastered on telephone poles on Capitol Hill or the U District as a kid, or their album hanging in like second time around used stereo equipment and CDs. And if I didn't like Super Suckers, they just kind of looked they looked scary to me. They looked like they were trying to be friends with Rob Zombie.
They probably even do a cover of Paint It Black. by the Rolling Stones, and you know...
Oh, I'm sure they did. I'm sure you'd love it.
It's funny. I just want to say this one thought, even though it probably isn't going to make sense. Playing this song All Right that you mentioned by Supergrass, I thought it might have been retro-y because it reminds me of that other band we've been talking about a lot lately, Badfinger.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that these, I don't know if Supergrass was British or not, and I assume Badfinger
they
was.
Were.
And I think Badfinger was one of the first bands signed to Apple Records, yeah. Right? So I assume they were British, right. Too, and they were kind of...
I think Badfinger was from Wales.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think they were from Swansea. Only because I did that weird Badfinger deep dive a few months ago, or maybe it was a year ago now. Yeah, like one of Badfinger's big songs, I forget now which one it is, but Paul McCartney wrote it for them, and... gave it to them, and he was on the Howard Stern show recently because he has been making the rounds. And Howard Stern was like, why would you give them that hit song and tell them exactly how to record it? And he was like, well, they were on our record label. We wanted them to be successful.
Right. I think, was that Come and Get It? Because this song always sounds like the Beatles to me.
This is written by Paul McCartney,
and it's recorded
under his direction.
Yeah.
Sound exactly like the Beatles.
And specifically a Paul song or a Paul like early solo song. I love this song so much. If you want it anytime, I can give it.
But you better hurry, cause it may not last.
I'm going to go on a limb here. We can end this conversation, but I feel like the Beatles were very influential.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Andrew@tbtl.net. That's where you can send the emails. I'm going to slowly back away. I'm going to get off of this limb because I don't think it can support both of us because you're out there, brother.
I know.
You're out on it.
I know. I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I can clip it out.
Yeah. In 3, 2, and my vacuum cleaner question.
Yeah.
We have this thing that we do on Livewire called the Jar of Truth, which I actually really love. It's such a simple idea, but it's just – we just ask – like tonight, if people are hearing this on Thursday, we have Gary Steingart on, and we're going to ask him to draw a question from the Jar of Truth. And they're just like – you know, they're basically kind of like etiquette questions or – you know, we set it up so it's like this really intense, serious thing. And then the questions include things like, are you a terrible person if you wait to make sure the barista is looking when you drop the tip in the can? Or the vacuum-related one. Is it ever okay to just vacuum around the furniture and other things as opposed to actually moving stuff? And that's my question to you because I go back and forth on this when I'm vacuuming here at Burbank Springs. Like it's so much easier to just go around the dining room chairs and just – but I feel at the end of it like I haven't really done a thorough job.
Mm-hmm.
Do you – you know, vacuuming completist that you are and world-class putterer – Do you ever just vacuum around objects, or do objects need to be moved for it to really be an actual vacuum sesh?
Well, this gets into my whole dilemma, not just in my cleaning life, but my life writ large, which is I do strictly believe or strongly believe that you should move everything out of the way and do a real good cleaning, even with the hardwood floors. Like for sweeping, it's hard to get around certain things, and I want to do a good job because I don't do it as often as I probably should. So I like to get everything out of the room and get all the corners and clean it. But the problem is, like, and I do this with projects and stuff too. Like, I feel like me feeling like I need to be a completist about it means that I don't take the time to do it at all as much as I should.
Right. Because
I don't put aside.
Sure.
Because I'm like, well, I got to put aside some time to do that. Now, I might be up here.
I'm going to take every single thing out of the bathroom and wash it down individually.
Right. And there, so there I am in my supposedly clean castle looking down on a young Luke Burbank who's just like vacuuming around furniture. And I'm thinking, what are you doing, you dirtball? But are you really the dirtball? No, because you're getting it done. And I think this goes back to the psychology of cleaning that we were talking about a second ago.
Dude, dirtballs get it done. Everybody knows that. Show title. I'm writing it down.
It's like a t-shirt from the 90s. Dirt balls do it with a vacuum.
I'm sure that the Dirt Balls Get It Done open for the Super Suckers at some point at the Velvet Elvis Lounge in circa 1992.
The band was the Dirt Bags. The first album was Dirt Bags Get It Done, I believe. And I believe they were produced by Paul McCartney. Anyway, yeah. So to answer your question, I am a completist. I like to, like, if I'm going to do a room, I like to do it right and move all the furniture out of the way. But I think you can make a really strong argument that if that's preventing you from doing it as often as you should, just get over it and clean up you know, what you see, and then maybe once in a while do the deep clean.
Yeah, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Right,
as
exactly.
The super suckers once sang.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find a Bad Finger song.
Oh, I think I still have them up here how much on Spotify. If you want,
yeah,
no matter what, want to do that?
I'm a sucker for that. That's Cher's cover, I assume. Does she do a
that,
cover?
That I was doing. Do you believe? All right, that's a terrible. I apologize to everybody.
We'll use a little Bad Finger to thank our donors of the day. These are some folks who, during the last TBTL-a-thon, heard us asking for donations and reminding people that's the only way the show can happen. And they heard our cry. Not unlike Paul McCartney setting Badfinger up with their first hit song, these donors set us up with some seed money to keep the show rolling. And it is working amazingly here at episode 2727 in the Collector Series. I want to thank Jason Lumpkin of Fort Smith, Arkansas. I wonder if we went through Fort Smith, Arkansas on our travels between St. Paul and Mississippi. We did go through Arkansas, that's for sure.
I am going to say something here. I'm going to apologize to Jason in advance for this because we shouldn't do this to people's names. We appreciate the money, but I got to say it. I wonder if his full name is Jason S. Lumpkins.
Oh, man.
God damn. Don't you hate me for doing that? I think so.
I bet you he doesn't hate it because that's such a new development in pop culture. He hasn't had time to massively... he didn't get Jason S. Lumpkins in, fourth grade
right. In
Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Unless
so
he's
probably
fourth grade.
It's probably still mildly cute to him, if that's something that's coming up. But give it 10 years and he'll stop donating to the show, so I hope you're happy. I remember being in Arkansas, and that was where the whole show almost came off the rails because of, a cartoonish miscommunication between the two of us. You were trying to put the show up. But you had, no cell coverage. I was, in the car trying to talk to Carrie.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And then, you came out looking for me. And at that point, I think I had either gotten up and was walking around the parking lot trying to find cell coverage. Or I was, reclined in the car. Somehow, we kept missing each other. And you needed something from the car, but you thought you couldn't get in. It was a debacle in Arkansas.
I definitely think I was overreacting because you know me. You know me well enough that I get kind of worked up, especially around deadlines. I kind of like deadlines, but then I get into weird, intense Andy mode. And I think I was in that mode and I couldn't find you. I honestly think that, and I do think I was overreacting, but I do think that in that moment, that's the most frustrated I've ever been with you in my life.
I believe it.
I couldn't leave my equipment in the McDonald's, so
right,
I couldn't go running back and forth. And then, but I had no way of. And I had left my notepad, too, so I couldn't even be doing the...
That was the issue, right?
Yeah, I needed internet.
In the car
and
that
I needed,
you needed.
My editing notepad, yeah.
The funny part was I was, I really think you walked over to the car, a moment after I got out of the car and went and walked behind a Dollar General. And then I, walked back when you had walked back into the McDonald's, and then I got back in the car. It was it really was in a movie where we were just unintentionally... I kept missing you, and your level of anxiety was building because also the Wi-Fi in the McDonald's was – you go to the Arkansas McDonald's for the Wi-Fi, and this was not good Wi-Fi. I think you had to kick a kid out of his seat.
I really did.
Charging his phone.
Sweetest little kid, yeah. You know what the funniest thing about that story now that I can kind of piece it all together, and maybe we've already established this, but I definitely at one point, early on when I realized I had no internet, and when I say my editing notebook, I'm not just being precious about it. In other words, we had tons and tons of tape from the show we had just recorded. I don't have time to listen to the show all the way through and make edits, but there were definitely places where we stopped, we redid things. It was we had called Kiki Lolo on the show, so there were points in that show that I needed to make edits because I couldn't leave them in the show, and all of those notes about where I needed to make edits I had left in the car. But the funniest thing about this is the first time I went out to the car, I know I left my equipment behind. I'm like, it'll be fine for a second. I walked out the doors and I went up to the car we were driving, and you were definitely not in it. And then I think as, I come back, I do some more work, but I still don't know where you are. But from that point forward, what I was doing was that I was just walking 1 foot out of the McDonald's door, not walking all the way to the car again,
right. And
just glancing at the car just to see if your head was up there. So sometime between me walking up to the car and actually knowing that you weren't in there and then me turning my back on you. You got in the car, but then reclined in yes. your seat. So I'm looking yes. at the car, and you are in there. And then how did I end up getting – I did end up – you ended up getting a bunch of texts from me all at once or
well, that
somehow
was the other
you
– The cell coverage was janky, and so all of a sudden I looked at my phone, and there was like 33 increasingly frustrated messages sent from you. And I was like, oh, my God. Then I ran in, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry, dude. And you had sort of remedied the problem, and I was like, what can I do? You were like, I'll take a chocolate shake.
And then right.
I got you a chocolate shake.
The last
and
chocolate shake like I've had.
I got my like third McDonald's order of that day. I was alternating between McDonald's and what was that? What's that deli that we were eating at incessantly in the South?
It already, it was all
it's,
over
it also starts with Mick. Anyway, I was just like sitting there eating my cheeseburger with double cheese, watching you as you finished slaving over a hot laptop.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jason
out.
Lumpkin. Thank you for the donation in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Also, Diane Hopkins of Rockford, Minnesota. Amanda Spear of Buffalo, New York. Marnie Wade of Mendota, Illinois. This is a cool distribution. I love these towns. I don't think I've been to all of them, but they just kind of – it's like it seems mm-hmm. like a nice slice of American life. We got Fort Smith, Arkansas, Rockford, Minnesota, Buffalo, New York, and Mendota, Illinois. And then – Chandra Benjamin and Keith Scholl of Eden Prairie, Minnesota. We're really
Eden Prairie. That really sounds really pastoral.
Eden Prairie, I feel like I always mix Eden Prairie and Edina up because Edina is where there was a former NFL referee who was from Edina. And I was doing a story about referees and I remember calling him in Edina, Minnesota, which is not Eden Prairie. Eden Prairie is famous for something else, and I know who will tell us what that is, Stu from Internet, when he hears this.
Do you think he's still listening?
No, we'll find out. It's a good question. I mean, he seems – maybe he's just kind of like, as you say, needle dropping on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just – if I sound distracted, by the way, I apologize. I'm watching a squirrel just cavort in the backyard, and I feel like at any moment I'm going to see Murder Cat just firing in hot.
You are going to.
To my knowledge, she's never gotten a squirrel. I think squirrels are a little savvier than, say, bunnies, but – anytime there's like we saw a black squirrel yesterday up on the fence in the front yard, and you know the squirrels are pretty agile and pretty nimble, and so this squirrel's running along the top of the fence, and then who comes lumbering along after him? The murder cat, although the cat is too big to run on the same width of fence. So she's got like two legs up on the fence, two legs down on like the support beam that's slightly below, doing the world's most awkward run trying to go after this squirrel. And I'm like, you have no chance. What are you even trying to do?
So, yeah, but you got anyway. To, I mean, have you not seen the Nike ads? You go for it.
She's actually in the next set of Nike ads. It's going to be Olive. Don't let anybody tell you because you have astigmatism. You can't catch many small creatures out on the Alabama Hill in Bellingham.
People all over the country are going to be burning their cat toys.
Holy, I almost said holy shnikes. That, I mean, honestly. Like, I don't think Nike is a particularly, by the way, thank you, Jason, Diane, Amanda, Marnie, and Chandra, and Keith. Thank you very much for supporting TBTL and making it possible. I'm going to try to not go on a 20-minute harangue about this whole Nike thing, but it's not like Nike, in my mind, is some particularly socially conscious, amazing company. But I feel like I have no choice at this point other than to bedeck myself in all Nike head to toe. So I guess it's working, right?
Culture wars. I got to say, we talk about him kind of a lot. He comes up. He writes about sports technically, but really he writes about culture. David Roth.
That's what I was watching when you dialed me up today. He was doing a video about his different plaid shirts that he wears, which I've watched with great interest.
I haven't seen that. But he wrote a really just very David Rothy piece about the brouhaha regarding the Kaepernick Nike thing. I would recommend reading that if you have any interest in the topic. And if you don't have any interest in the topic, and I say this as a guy who's got a podcast about commercials and advertising. God bless you. You don't have to have an opinion on this at all. And
right.
I mean that like very, very seriously. Like,
that's
don't
our
read
new,
David's piece.
And that's our new segment. You don't have to have an opinion, jerk. It's fine if you don't have an opinion. That's an okay stance.
Yeah.
I know that we have a job, and I'll extend what you were saying. Like, we have a job here where 5 days a week we do this show, and it's not – I mean, our opinions are about meaningless things like canister vacuums, usually. And so, yes, I'm being a little hypocritical when I say everyone doesn't have to have an opinion all the time. But I do think that that's a reasonable response to something going on is, I don't really have an opinion on that. I think that's a better take than having a reaction that's not even based in the real world or based on what's actually happening, but rather your emotions about that. And I would say that across the board. Like, not having a take is an acceptable thing. Just not for us, because we're noted
hot
takers.
That's right.
That's right.
I have hot takes on vacuums and all kinds of thoughtful topics.
I'm about to fire some more hot takes in during this top story segment.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
Speaking of sports, let's talk about, as a CNN wrote on their headline, a healthier tailgate for the win.
Oh, God.
These are some tips on how...
Sorry,
we only have we have 33 different ways that we can play this, and so, not to mention, and of course, this is some tips and tricks and life hack it buddies for eating more healthy during football watching season. Something I know many of our listeners are into. And even if you're not into football, just don't imagine this as a football story. Imagine this as whatever you do for fun that's social and that involves a lot of grazing and snacking as part of the social kind of contract. And also, if you don't care about this, you're more than welcome to not care about it. It's called don't have a care about it, jerk. And by my point is this moves from the position, or this sort of comes from the supposition, I guess you could say. Is that how you use supposition? I used to work with a guy who would always – he loved supposition, and he would always use it in an NPR show I worked on. And he would always kind of use it, and I don't think I ever totally knew what he meant by it. I mean –
supposition.
I think – what's it mean?
An uncertain belief. They were working on the supposition that his death was murder. It's an you're supposing something.
Supposition.
That makes sense. Okay, so I was about to misuse it. I was going to say this whole article is based on the idea that you should be trying to watch your calories during football watching. And maybe you don't
I see what you're saying.
Want or need to do that. I don't know. I don't know your life. But anyway, if you are somebody who cares about that stuff, and if you're named Andrew and you're contractually obligated to take this quiz with me, this is for you. Okay. So, things you can do, Andrew, and I'm going to read them to you, and then I want to get your honest opinion on if you think there's any chance in hells that you would do this.
Okay.
Eat a healthy snack before the game. Good choices include a Greek yogurt, a banana with almonds, or peanut butter. Hey, we talked about peanut butter on yesterday's episode, so that could be possible. Let's see here. Or avocado on whole wheat toast. Millennials get in trouble for that all the time, by the way. They're always having that avocado toast instead of buying homes.
And then people are yelling, instead of buying homes. And then we're like, why don't you buy a home instead of eating all that avocado toast?
Right. Do you remember that whole thing? Somebody wrote an article about how millennials were not saving for their future, and they were not in a good position to buy real estate because they were spending money on avocado toast.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even know. I mean, I guess I do remember that, although it's also just kind of a cliche at this point, too. I feel like there's been a lot of shit like that written. But anyway, regarding this, first of all, let me see.
Let me finish their little piece of advice. Grabbing a snack before the game. Well, by the way, I don't think every idea on this list is total BS. Mm-hmm. So I know I'm sounding a little sarcastic, but I didn't print this out because I thought these are all bad ideas. But I just thought it is in a way oxymoronic, I think, because the enjoyment of the tailgating. And also, who even tailgates at this point? But the enjoyment of watching the sports and the eating the food, and that's when I turn into Bill Cosby, is just in the sense of that impression, not anything else from his life. I'd like to be very clear about that. When I said the watching the game and the eating the food, I started to sound slightly Cosby-ish. The whole point of it is to eat a bunch of unhealthy food. Okay, so that being said, They continue, grabbing a snack before the game will help you avoid the temptation to indulge in unhealthy foods once it begins. If the tailgating starts early, bring your snack with you. Okay, what are the chances that you would consider eating something a little healthier before you launch into the tailgating so that you kind of, you circumvent a little bit of bad eating?
Circumvent? I believe you.
What's he say?
I'll just circumvent. Oh no! I thought that was the robot. Lynn sent me all he made MP3s of all of the sound effects on your thing, but that one was called "Embarrassed or Fail." I can't find "Uh-oh Robot" on here. Is there any chance he withheld that from me just to get to me?
Also, why don't I have Job saying I'll just circumvent you? Why can't I find that? Who stole that from me?
I think we've both been hacked.
Who moved my cheese?
Yeah, somebody did move my cheese. I will have to use this instead of the uh-oh robot.
I've got this. You just tell me when to fire it.
That was the time to fire it because that's bullshit. Like this is. And I haven't seen this list at all, so I'm just reacting honestly. But that misses the whole point. I mean, you know what? Have a reasonable snack before you tailgate. You know what else would save you calories tailgating? Don't tailgate. Like there are certain things that. And now, if you want to say, you know, give us food options that still scratch a certain itch. Like maybe you don't just go and horf down 100 hot dogs. Or I've never tailgated. I don't know how it works. Probably be my sitch. Mm-hmm. You know,
pin the tail on a hot dog, and if you do it successfully, you get to eat the hot dog.
But you know, you have found a bunch of food hacks that I respect. Yeah. Like most of them, I don't go in for, but like I love zoodles. Like just earlier today, for a weird quick lunch, I just like took a bunch of chicken and broccoli and threw it into a stir fry pan because I didn't want a cold salad, and I thought, oh, let me just stir fry my ingredients here, and it was good. And I was thinking, God, I really wish I had zoodles. I wasn't even thinking I want noodles. Like I wanted zoodles, and so I think some of these food hacks are good ideas, and if CNN wants to say instead of a hot dog, why don't you try a, you know, something that kind of hits the same maybe flavor profile or consistency or mouthfeel or whatever, here's a good replacement. But just saying like go to the tailgating thing and don't go hungry, just don't eat while you're there, it's like, well then I could just not go to it. Like
I think eating a healthy snack before the game, it more or less it sort of torpedoes the whole idea of going and watching the game and eating. Like, I'm with you. Now, what about this next one, though? Wear a belt. Adding this accessory can do more than just make a fashion statement. It can help you feel when you've had enough to eat. Wearing a slimming pair of pants or jeans can do the same. Would you ever consider wearing a belt so as to know when you'd had enough football-related food?
I got to say, I wouldn't do that right now because I'm not necessarily trying to lose weight, although I am once again, I believe, at the heaviest I've ever been. It's funny how you just keep on – I just keep on setting new standards for myself, new bars for myself. It was that Nike ad, you know, just push through, just do it. But if I were actually trying – you know, if I were actively trying to lose weight to the point that I'm thinking about this going to a tailgating thing or anything like that, yes, because I am very – one of my least favorite things is feeling too big for my clothes, which is, you know, I always solve that by buying bigger and bigger clothes. But that's a real psychological
limited
barrier for me. So, that's a good idea, I think.
I have a version of that, which is when I used to drive to Portland a lot to do Livewire, I could tell kind of based on where I was at. Sorry if this is overly graphic or whatever, but like – you know, you're driving for a long time and you kind of you get out to put some gas in the car or whatever and you realize that you're like your top of your pants have really been digging into your stomach.
Yeah.
And you're just like – and I can honestly gauge – it's like that's always going to happen to me probably a little bit. But it's like there was a normal amount of – and then there was like, oh, man, I might need to undo my top button. And I could really – like that would be the difference between like, I don't know, 5 or 10 pounds, which is kind of a version of that. The other thing I think is – and again, I want to just reiterate, everybody can do whatever they want. I'm not trying to tell people how to live their life or what they should eat or what they should care about. But the thing about the wearing a belt thing that's actually not the worst is, in my opinion, is it's not saying don't enjoy, you know, don't enjoy tailgating food or football watching food. But it's saying maybe if you have something that kind of lets you know, like, all right, we've had a good amount of this. Like, it's, you know what I mean? You can enjoy it, but then maybe there's a point at which you say, I've enjoyed enough of it. Like, it's not saying eat a bunch of, like, celery. God, why do people always badmouth celery, Andrew?
We should talk about it. We don't have time today, but let's talk about that on the show.
It's not like saying, like, eat a bunch of celery before the game and then take a, you know, like a vow of not eating junk food during the game. That's just not participating in the event. The wearing a belt thing is not saying don't participate in the event. It's just saying, like, yeah, and then let your belt let you know when you've probably participated enough, maybe, for you.
Right.
This one, include healthier foods, is idea number three. Whether you're a host or guest, plan ahead. Think about what you will eat beforehand. If you're hosting, consider healthier options such as shrimp cocktail, fish tacos, grilled chicken skewers, cherry tomato, and kebabs, grilled vegetable sandwiches, turkey meatballs, veggie burgers. If you are bringing a dish, consider a veggie chili, baked kale chips. No offense, but I actually have had some baked kale chips that aren't bad, but I can't imagine anyone at the football watching party going, kale chips! Like, I've never heard that shout go up.
Right.
At a party.
Although, I guess maybe you're packing for yourself in this case, maybe, or...
Yeah. Now, listen, I will say this. Okay, let me ask you, Andrew, would you consider doing this?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was saying before. Like, they're giving some real suggestions now for swapping out, you know, food that is bad for you with food that will maybe still taste good or, you know, tickle your pleasure centers. Sorry, everybody. Mm. But, you know, it's a little bit of a sacrifice for a big gain, and you can still participate. That makes sense to me.
Fill half your plate with plants. Whatever you choose to eat, try to fill at least half your plate with veggies and other plant-based foods, such as beans, legumes, what's up, turnips, and fruit. This will boost your intake of fiber, which will keep you feeling full during the game. I think really what they mean is, you won't get backed up, right?
Oh.
Isn't that the benefit of the fiber intake? Is it keeps everything moving? I don't think the point of fiber is to feel full. I think the point of fiber is to help keep your digestive system working smoothly. Let me just say, if I can jump in, I have been doing this. We had Carrie's family over like a week ago for a party. It was really fun, and there was the biggest bowl of Lay's sour cream and onion potato chips, which honestly, I could eat that whole bowl probably by myself. And we also had a big vegetable plate, and I was really trying. I'm not telling this story to be like, go me, because I ended up eating probably 2/3 of. When everybody left, I think at some point I tied the bowl to my face like a feed bag on a Clydesdale.
Yeah, well, no, that just, way it's hands free. I love that. I do that too.
Right. So
you can write your novel. You can write your memoir while eating the chips.
And that's it. I owed it to the readers of my future novel to go hands free on this one. No, I mean, I ultimately, I'm sure, ate way more of these chips than was advisable. That being said, what I was trying to do was alternate between like have a carrot or a piece of celery, then have some chips. And I mean, part of it was like you can only eat so much stuff. And I find eating a carrot or eating a piece of celery, particularly if I'm dipping it in like ranch, I find that to be pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I just kind of was like, okay, you know, one of these and then one of those and then one of these and one of those. And I don't know how much of an impact it really made, but I felt a little less crummy, and not just kind of psychologically like self-loathing, but more just like I was not exclusively full of oily potato chips at the end of this sesh.
Yeah.
I also had some vegetables in me. So this idea of – I guess what my point is that if you are going to put a bunch of stuff on your plate, you're going to probably, if you're like most people, you're going to eat that stuff that's on your plate. So if 30% of it is stuff that's not the worst for you, then that's going to be 30% of what you consume. This seems obvious, but I don't think this way a lot of the time. I'll just be like, oh, I like that, you know, fill in the blank. Let me just pile all of that on my plate. But it's like if I were to kind of break it up into thirds and go a third really bad stuff, a third a little bit better stuff, and a third somewhere in the middle, I will eat that whole thing. And at the end of that sesh, I'll feel fine. I won't be like, I really missed out. And there you go. I've done maybe a third less damage to myself.
Hey, I may have some good news for everybody here, I think. Oh, there it is. I got it. Lynn sent it to me. I threw him under the bus. Anyway, this is a whole new door.
Oh, that was the good news?
That was the good news. I have the... but when I do such a
single Christians, good news.
When I do the when I do the such a great imitation, I don't even think I need that, but I'm glad to know I have it. So, all right, I'm with you on that. That sounds like sound advice.
How about this? And I don't want this to get into dicey territory. Like, I don't want you to feel like you have to, like, get realer than real. But one of the things that they suggest is alternate beer with seltzer or water. Doing so will keep you hydrated and will curb calories from alcohol and food, since we tend to eat more when we drink. If you have the choice, choose light beers, which have fewer calories than regular ones.
Well, I'm already doing that, so that's good. That's why I
really?
Only
drink
12 of them. Miller Lite and Bud Light have been my jams. I have been becoming a bit more of a Miller Lite guy. But I do that anyway for the most part. During the winter, I enjoy an IPA. Certainly, I don't want to say like I never get those, but I definitely... I think they're just the amount more calories and like kind of a heavy but very tasty IPA versus a Bud Light or a Miller Lite is very significant.
I know you got some pushback once on Bud Light. Let me just tee this up for those same listeners. I seriously enjoy Michelob Ultra. Like,
oh, yeah.
I enjoy having a Mich Ultra. It's crazy. I know it's like not beer. I know all of the things about it that aren't great, but it's I don't mind it. Considering also that it's like 1.5 grams of carbs and low cal. I had a couple of those watching the game the other day, and it was really fun. Now, the danger zone for me is, because I don't drink a lot of beer, usually for the caloric implications, but I still like to get tuned up. So what do? I'll throw a little JMO in the mix.
Oh, yeah,
I'll have
a
shot of Jameson with a Mich Ultra, which is a real... we can come up with a nickname for that at some point.
Well, when I go to a bar, I mean, this is really embarrassing to admit it, but like my usual, especially, you know, if I'm not talking about like dinner out with friends, but if I'm just going to a bar, like my kind of a bar, I always get like a Bud Light or a Miller Light and a side of Jim Beam, right? A Jim Beam neat. And we call it the situation, Genevieve and I, because I think one time I was at a bar and I just kind of said to the waitress, yeah, I'll take another one of these. I'll take another situation. And Genevieve said, you know, if you ever have a bar, you got to have that on your menu, right? The situation. Bottle of Miller Lite, glass bottle of Miller Lite, and a Jim Beam neat.
When Carrie and I met, and this is probably speaks to where I was in my life at the moment, my standard order was shot of Jameson and vodka soda.
Oh, yeah. I remember those days. I remember we would hang out in the Mexican restaurant planning whatever, Ross and Burbank or TBTL stuff, and that would be your go-to.
And I'm not trying to tell anybody – again, I'm not trying to tell anybody how to live their life. But for me, let's just say that was not living my best life.
No, you don't think
because
so?
Because it was like a shot, fine, if that's the main alcohol you're getting, and then a light beer that's more just like something to wash the shot down with. Or a cocktail, that's fine too. Shot in a cocktail, that'll get on top of you.
Yeah, you're you could call that drink or you could call that order the I'm in a hurry. Just like
to my life.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not waiting around here to casually maybe get a little tipsy. Yeah. I'm in a hurry here. Yeah. I will take two drinks.
I call that the shituation. As in, after three of these, I have to run to the bathroom not shit my pants.
Or you're going to create a shituation.
Yeah, right.
At a bowling alley.
Here's another. Oh man. So here's another one. Concentrate on the conversation. Tailgate parties are a great opportunity to catch up with friends and can help make your gathering more about. This is where the list starts to lose me. Not unlike when Dr. Death, I think, really violated the idea of Occam's Razor recently for me.
Uh-huh.
This one is kind of, I mean, this is pretty like pedantic. Tailgate parties are a great opportunity. This is written by a person who's never been to a football watching
no,
party.
No, I know.
And has just like is not interested in drinking. Is just kind of like, I don't know. I'll have like a half a glass of wine. And hey, if that's anybody listening, more power to you. Honestly.
Yeah.
Here's what they say. Tailgate parties are a great opportunity to catch up with friends and can help make your gathering more about the people than the food. This can ultimately help you avoid overindulging, especially if you are chatting at a distance from the food. So in other words, talk to people more. Stay further away from the food, and we can just extend, I guess, the alcohol to this. And that's how you can have a healthier time at the tailgating party. Just don't stand near all the stuff that's not great for you. Instead, engage in conversation.
That's just weak tea. I mean, that is just such a silly thing to say. I mean, I'm not even saying it's wrong. I'm not saying that if I went to a therapist that they wouldn't tell me, hey, maybe at a party you should engage more with people and be a listener. I think those are all things that would actually be good for me because I have a lot of social anxiety. A lot of times I'm just thinking about when I'm going to be able to go home and put on my tonight pants. That's not good. That's not healthy. I'm not saying the writer is wrong, but I also just think that like it's just a stupid thing to put in this list.
Yeah, it's like obvious, and it's almost like eat a bunch of healthy food before you go to the football watching party. It's like, oh, at the football watching party, just don't stand near where the snacks are. And really just like lean into that conversation.
Yeah, just really get to know your neighbors.
Get moving during halftime is another suggestion. Burn off some of those calories by taking a short walk or having a dance party during halftime. Staying active can also give you an energy boost and prevent you from constant nibbling during the game. Now, I think a dance party, I think we did some kind of a dance party when the Seahawks beat the Packers in the NFC Championship in that, like, I don't mean you, I mean Camaro, Kevin, Anita, and me and Carrie. So I'm not saying like an impromptu, a spontaneous
sure,
dance party
course.
Because your team won, or me and Momo dancing when the Beast Mode run happened. That's one thing. But like if I were to be at a football watching party and someone was like, okay, halftime dance party, I would immediately leave the party.
Oh my God.
Because that would be a person who's not there for the football. They're there for the dance party. And if they did a keg stand without actually imbibing the beer, I would also be not feeling it. Anyway, all of that to say, I do think taking a walk at halftime is kind of nice, though.
I mean, you're going to miss some of that great commentary from what's his name, Charles.
It depends on which network you're watching.
I know.
Right?
There's one guy in particular who drives me crazy, and he's also the color commentator on my Madden game, which I actually
Charles Woodson.
I don't think it's Woodson. I'll look it up in a second and I'll tell you. But he's especially he's not. I know it goes this.
Deion Sanders?
He's just like a super cliche machine. Like, they're all cliche machines, but he sounds like that little sound effect box you have right there. He sounds like a human version of that that just spits out, like, football isms bullshit. Oh, you do have that one. That was him.
A very fun thing for me to do when the weather cooperates, like when it has turned to being fall. And, like, it's a very kind of it's an exciting, important football game. And I'm, like, hanging out with my brothers or Carrie or whomever. And then it goes to halftime. I will sometimes have so much nervous energy that it's like, we got to go play catch. Run out in the yard, throw the football. The weather is, like, it's crisp. And it just – you kind of feel – I don't know. You just – it just kind of mostly just gets out the nervous energy, gets out the wiggles. I love that. A good halftime football toss sesh.
Yeah.
That's, like – That's actually almost as much fun as watching the game. So I wouldn't throw a dance party, but I would, you know, I'd run some patterns. I'd get out there. I'd do my best Will Disley.
Yeah.
Or really Sebastian Janikowski. I was thinking the other day, wouldn't it be hilarious? I mean, it would suck for us because things would have gone very wrong. But could you imagine a scenario where like the snap is fumbled on a field goal attempt by the Seahawks, and somebody from the other team picks up the ball and starts running, and Sebastian Janikowski is trying to run and like tackle someone.
God. What if something happens where what if he's kicking a field goal and they get the ball and then he has to recover it and run it into the end zone?
You know, they have this whole terminology and the question of what is and isn't a catch, something called a football move.
Yeah, yeah.
The idea of Sebastian Janikowski doing any football move that isn't just kicking it is I kind of want to see it. Like, it would really be like – I've always wondered, like, what would happen if you just put a average 40-year-old American male whose BMI is probably 24, like, out on the field? Like, how long – like, could they make a tackle ever? Could they outrun any player on the field, including the linemen who are, you know, enormous but very athletic? And we've never gotten to test the theory, but if Sebastian Janikowski, if old Seabass does, first of all, doesn't get cut for missing field goals, and second of all, finds himself having to either run with the ball or run after someone to make a tackle, it will be fascinating.
Yeah. Charles Davis is the fellow I was trying to think of before.
Oh, Charles Davis. Yeah, he's a kind of I don't have a super does he call he's not one of the halftime guys. He's
no,
the one,
you're right.
Assigned.
That's where my joke before was really kind of falling down because I don't even really know who does the halftime. Actually your boy does, right? Rudy's doppelganger.
Oh yeah, Terry Bradshaw.
Bradshaw, he's a halftime guy, I think.
Yeah, he's a, and they have him do the highlights, which is, I'm not saying that I'm exactly silver tongued, but it's like, you know, Terry Bradshaw, God bless, is like, you know, he's just, he's a raging Cajun. He's taking a lot of hits to the head. Like, he has a difficult time getting through these, like, fast highlights. I'm like, why? Just let Kurt Menefee do it. Or, like, there's, like, a professional broadcaster up here. There's always, like, one person who didn't make their bones playing football. Let them do that. And then you, the ex-football players, you do all the analysis because you were there, you lived it, all of that. Let's see here. Determine your end zone. This is another one that's we're not really ending strong here. Since it's so easy to mindlessly nibble when watching a game, decide at which point during the game you will stop eating. Depending on the start time of the game, it could be after the first quarter, halftime, or the third quarter. Don't forget to take timeouts too. Okay, that one's kind of now. How about this though? Let me propose a mod. I think we're probably a kind of a on that, but let me propose a modified version. What if you somehow attach your snacking to the fortunes of your team? I do that sometimes with my quote-unquote victory shot or celebration shot, where it's like, I really want to have a shot, but I'm like, I can't have this until they score another touchdown. So then I feel like I've got a lot. I'm not betting on the game, but I have a lot riding on it. Am I going to get to have my special daddy juice before, you know, like,
Let's not call it that.
Now suddenly you don't like daddy. I get it. Okay, well.
I'll say you earned that one.
Like, could you do something where you like if one was trying to kind of manage one's snacking during the game, could you set up a thing where it's like if they get ahead by this many points or if they score another touchdown, you kind of make it a competition. Somehow you attach it to what's happening on the field, so then you're extra excited when they do the thing because now you can also just go bury your face in the chips or something.
Don't they say you're not supposed to like reward yourself with food? That's like if you're trying to lose weight, it's actually unhealthy to kind of tie your food to a reward system, and that you should just like eat when you're hungry.
Yes, that is the healthier way to do it. But if you are a person who has a hang up on this, like I do,
right?
I don't know if that's an option. I mean, yes, it's attaching a bunch of rules around things is not probably the most mentally healthy way to do it, but also I guess you're right. It is the healthier thing to do would just be eat what you want when you want. The problem is all I want is pizza, and all I want is now.
What do we want? You know what I would pizza. Do, which I think they should put on this list, is just like before you go tailgating, just eat like a healthy meal and be full, so when you show up, you're not hungry.
Well. That and the dance party, and also like scheduling all of my conversations across the room.
Right, right. Listening to my neighbors and getting to know them.
This will be another successful football party. Who are the pitchers in this game?
All right, I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now, but have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Here I go once again with the email. Every week I hope that it's from a female. Oh man, It's not from a female.
Well, it is a Thursday edition of the show, meaning we have got some birthday messages, nice. I would assume, and maybe even more exciting than the birthday messages, although I'm excited about them, don't get me wrong. Even more exciting for me is, of course, a little Uncle Muscles.
There's a right way to rock and a wrong way to roll. You can just listen to your soul. Just remember that life is number one. You can be having so much fun. Just remember that life is much fun. You can be number one.
Oh, I jumped it. I don't know if you can hear me muttering over here while I try to sing along to this song.
And I believe me, it's all I can do to shut up and not sing along because I'm like 1 second behind the music up here in Bellingham. So it'll be extra annoying to everybody. But it's good stuff. Good stuff. All right.
We've got a note from Ben in Tucson. He says, "Happy Blursday to me." I don't know any other tens in real life. IRL, he says he saved some time there.
Does he say where he lives in Arizona? I'm sure we can introduce him to some.
Tucson. There's a decent contingent I know in the Phoenix area because we met a bunch of them. I met them once. I think you've had meetups a couple of times with them. So, Ben, reach out. Touch someone. Next time you are at a tailgating situation with other tens, you know, stay away from the food and
yeah, stay on the other side of the room, talk to the tens, and ignore the food.
Anyway, Ben has a really sweet message. He says, "Happy Blursday to me. I don't know any other tens IRL, so my shout out is to ask everyone to take time this weekend to recognize the kind words and actions of others and to thank them for it. That's all."
Wow.
That's really nice.
That is an extremely thoughtful and important message. Thanks, Ben.
You know what I like to do? I like to groove on that for a little bit. Cameron wants to wish their fiance, Aisha, a happy Blursday. Cameron writes, "Aisha has been a listener since we started dating more than 7 years ago. She's written and called in with stories about Sky Jinx experiences and loves when she becomes hashtag podcast famous. She extra appreciates this Blursday message since she's away from home working in Fairbanks, Alaska on her birthday."
Got to make that cheddar.
That's right.
Happy birthday, Aisha.
Thick bass ain't free. Another show title. Allegra says,
"Tell me thick is not spelled with two C's."
I don't know. Allegra says, "Happy Blursday to my sister Jenny, who turned 32 on September 8th. She's a time bandit who will probably not hear this until 2019. And you're firing those directly from the machine, right?
Yeah.
I love that
don't
so much. I want.
Praise the machine.
I was going to say, I want something like that, but I don't. Yeah, I mean, it'll ruin the show. I can't be trusted with that shit. Honestly, you can't either, but certainly two.
This
of
is
us.
The sound of the show if you had access to one of these.
Bombs. I'm going to get a cleaning version for the other podcast. All right, that's all I got for Blursdays. Now, if you have time and you want to handle some advice, I have an advice email here that I've been hanging on to for a long time. But if you'd like to save it for Monday, we could do that as well. It's your call. Where are we time-wise?
I think we've got time for can we keep it on the relatively short side, given the advice?
It's not advice. It's sharing information from the heart and the spiritual level.
Mm-hmm. Longer read. Let me just – I'm looking at the clock. Let's save it.
Yeah.
Let's save it.
Okay. Because tomorrow we're going to be announcing the winning Song of the Summer contest. We'll have DFTB. I'll be in at Walsh and Doormat, as will David. So that's going to be a whole thing. So maybe Monday we can – because we've got to – here's the thing. No Point is going to be on Tuesday, as you've pointed out, because of Monday Night Football with the Seahawks. So anyway, we'll do that on Monday. That's a good plan.
That sounds good.
Thoughts on a show title?
I've already typed it in. I'm not going to change it for anything. It's going to be how do you say hello to a rutabaga? It's like how do you thank someone who's – taught you from right from wrong, or however that song goes, to sir with love. There's just something about you say hello to a rutabaga that just really appeals to me. So I think it's a good show title there. Now for music, we did a lot of music talk today. I don't know if you want to revisit any of those bands, the space slash super slash
what about
bad.
I like that Space Hog song, which I had kind of forgotten about until you were playing it on the road trip. So maybe we do that.
Yeah, In the Meantime is the name of this one. I think they just had it at this bar we went to. It just happened to be in the jukebox, and we had plenty of extra quarters.
I think you were also playing this in Teddy's during the early parts of the baseball season. I have a memory of this playing, but, you know, things were kind of foggy there.
Maybe.
I do have a T-shirt to prove I was there, so I have that much going for me.
There is something about Teddy's that is weird. Like, there must be something in the air there, because a lot of my memories are foggy. It's like you
strange
leave.
Place. Yeah.
By the way, I have confirmed. I finally found the article that does say. I mean, it's been obvious for a long time, but I finally just like wanted to face the music and look up. Like, is it definitely closing? And I found an article from 2 years ago that said they got about 2 more years before that whole area is being torn down. So we got to enjoy it while we can, Burbank.
May there be zoning. May there be. I'll give you an old Irish blessing. May the wind rise. May the wind with the road rise to meet you. And may there be zoning problems for the development of your favorite bar's site.
Did you see my angry tweet about the Jensen's, the old-time smoke shop here where we get our Landjaegers?
No. Is that going out of business?
Yeah, but don't worry. They're going to build a multi-use, probably crappy
Come
building
on.
There.
Have you had the trail mix from there?
Well, I don't do the cheese. Mix. It's cheese and meats. I don't do the cheese, but that's where I went in there. We were having a weekend get together at a cabin, and I was like, it'd be great to bring some Landjaegers, and I bought them, and then, of course, there's a sign there that says, you know, the landlord is selling the building, and we're going out of business, so there you go.
Okay, well, we're going to go out on that note, and we're going to thank you for listening. We will be right back here tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio for you. Until then, enjoy your Thursday. Go Mariners, go Itabego. Remember, dirt balls get it done. And also,
are you mad
remember
that that's not the show title?
No. All right. It's going to be part of the sign-off now.
Okay.
So it goes from being one day's message to multiple days'
I love
message.
It.
Please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all dirt bags. Dirt balls?
Dirt balls.
Dirt balls, sorry. Not the only
Power out.